February 24th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also go to our website, thesportscast.net. You could also go to our online radio and you could listen to us 24/7 and visit us and follow us on Twitter on the Sportscast One on Twitter and Instagram. Please hit that blue follow button. Now on Twitter is actually Water Black, I believe. Anyways, this week was going crazy since the Super Bowl. There's been a lot of sports going on. All-Star Game, NBA resuming last night. Vance Joseph going to the Broncos, back at it. And join us all the way from upstate New York, where you could find some buffalo wings up there. Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Yes, you could. It's a big deal up here, you know, take our chicken wings seriously. Santiago said a lot of things happening in the sports world. New hirings.
Trades.
In the NFL, and then trade. Yeah, and we have NBA starting back up after the All-Star break. So we're just a couple of days away from that magical month of March. You know, in college basketball. So
A lot of things heating up. Before we head into the soup of sports news, what were your thoughts over the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Philadelphia Eagles for Super Bowl LVII?
I think, I talked to you like 2 weeks before and I said, I guess it's kind of what I thought. I thought the Eagles had a better team, but the Chiefs had the best player, and that's Patrick Mahomes. He made the plays when they had to. It was nothing that I think Jalen Hurts probably played just as good, maybe even better than Patrick Mahomes. But when clutch times happen, Patrick Mahomes made the plays, and the Chiefs made just enough in the end to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to stick with the NFL. Vance Joseph, who was the coach of the Denver Broncos back in 2018, I believe, 17, in 18, he is coming back. He got rid of by John Elway, actually, following his 6-10 season. Redemption. I told Ryan a few weeks ago it'll be Vic Fangio, but this time it was Mr. Joseph. Your thoughts over this hiring? Sean Payton has a new guy in town.
Yeah, I mean, in the football sense, it's a good deal, This guy, he was very successful defensively for the Broncos, Broncos have consistently in the last couple of years had good defenses. Just, haven't been able to put together offensively, coaching the city. Vance Joseph was kind of overwhelmed by the coaching duties.
Who came from the Cardinals?
He came from the Cardinals. I think he had okay success there. They had bigger issues in their defense, last couple of years. So not going to really hold that against them. I was really for intrigued possibility. I was really hoping, for a Rex Ryan comeback in Denver as a defense.
You were hoping for Rex Ryan?
It would have made for good. Good TV, though, Santiago. I don't know. So we'll see.
Hasn't coached since 08.
I think, you with Vance Joseph, you get a safer choice. It's probably humbling for him to come back and obviously left their capacity. He didn't head coach, so. But if he's willing, I think, it's a good find for Sean Payton and his team.
He's just putting his name out there. So Vance Joseph has signed a contract as offensive coordinator. Sean Payton has been making some moves in Denver. A couple moves. He told Russell Wilson to not bring his personal trainer in the facilities. So he's being a little bit old school. Will Sean, what have you seen so far, Ryan? Has he tightened up the ship in Denver?
Yeah, he's definitely making his his way known for sure. He's definitely, got some old school principles and tactics to the way he coaches. I don't think his coaching, the way he wants the game to be played is old school. You know, he's kind of the innovator of, the modern passing offense, that we see all around. So I don't think that, I definitely think, there was definitely a disconnect in organization between Russell Wilson and the rest. You hear reports that, he had an office. I don't know how many players have offices in the team building. It's kind of weird. And then you hear reports today, he made a point where it was basically him or
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's got to go. So,
during his time with
the
Seahawks.
I'm not going to judge, but yeah. Doesn't look good character wise for Russell Wilson. A guy is known for being a character guy. So, hopefully, he puts it all together. It kind of starts a redemption tour next year with Sean Payton.
Sean Payton definitely making some strides in the Denver Broncos organization with the new ownership. Penn something with Colleen Lissa Rice and that race car driver, but for sure we're seeing some progress there and hopefully what is your projection? Maybe finish number two in the AFC West, third at best. What's your prediction right now?
Yeah, third seems to be realistic. Obviously, you ask me, like I say this every time, you ask me every August, is the Chiefs, is this the year they're not going to win? No, I think they'll be okay. They'll still be up top. Chargers, Chargers are a tough team to read. They always are because they might have the most talent from top to bottom in the roster. They have an amazing young quarterback in Justin Herbert. They just don't.
They just can't beat Jacksonville and Jacksonville.
Season. Yeah, but it goes beyond that. That's a cultural issue. I don't know if Brandon Staley is the right coach, but
ownership's cheap.
I'm winning number two. They are known as a cheap team, but they really don't have an identity right now because it's still, I feel like, I don't think either team really has an identity in Los Angeles because if you ever watch any of those games with either the Chargers or Rams, they're kind of road teams in their own stadiums, especially when they play, marquee teams. So.
Like the Cowboys. Huge fan base in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Cowboys. Yeah, I always remember like when the 49ers go and play the Rams. It's huge. Like, I don't know.
It's because they haven't had a team in L.A. since 1996 when the Raiders played.
Yeah, and when the Raiders play the Chargers, good night. It's all 100% Raiders fans. I mean, the Chargers alone, when they were in San Diego, didn't have a good fan base. Then you uproot them and move them, to another city.
Which they're originally from.
Yeah, they
started
fans.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah. Go back to the point, yes, I think the Chargers will come in second, Broncos third, Raiders fourth. But we've still got to evaluate offseason. If Aaron Rodgers just found his way to, Las Vegas, reuniting with Devontae Adams, that could change things up. I really have no idea what the Raiders are doing at the quarterback position. So we'll see what happens there.
Let's ride that train
Josh
a bit. You mentioned Raiders for Rodgers, also Jets. Where is the most likely scenario from today, you think?
If you put a gun to my head, I think Rodgers kind of stalls. Sees what's the market, and then ultimately, I think he just stays with the Packers. I mean, is this a financial? The Packers.
I've heard he's more out than in.
It depends who you ask. I don't know. I don't think we can say, but no one knows, and I don't think he even knows.
He's taking a sabbatical in a dark room with no phone or anything.
Yeah, he just came out of that and basically said it is still doesn't know what's going to happen. So, whatever. We'll see. But it's kind of one of those things you kind of, when he makes his decision, we'll see where everything falls. To me, if he's not going to Green Bay, I feel like the Jets if the Jets want to wait him out. If the Jets don't want to wait, I think Derek Carr ends up in the Jets. But, you know, if they want to wait and see what Aaron Rodgers does, because, you know, you hired Nathaniel Hackett, you know, who is a terrible coach for the Broncos, but still a good offensive coordinator, and had a, you know, him and Rodgers had a good combination there in Green Bay there. So we'll see what happens there. David Carr probably signs me first because I think he's eager. But again, if the Jets are willing to wait, I think they could get Rodgers. And I think if the Raiders are patient, they could end up with Rodgers too. I think Rodgers likes to play Devontae Adams, and you know, so, and I think if they like the chemistry they built in Green Bay. So we'll see about that.
And Devontae Adams tweeted that Rodgers will be moving into his neighborhood. So don't know if that's eye-opener. Anyways, the Commanders are being eyed by Jeff Bezos from Amazon. He has he hired a firm to explore a potential bid for the Commanders, which Snyder has also made some moves to let that team go and sell it for a potentially six, I believe it's between $5 to $6 billion. Broncos were sold about around that number. Your thoughts over that, Ryan? Would that be good bought out by Mr. Amazon himself?
Oh, I mean, he's got the cash, right? My family, we, well, my wife loves Amazon. You know, we're adding to his bank account every day, it seems like. But yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of a safe choice. I think everybody likes, you know, I don't think many people have many bad things to say about him. For being kind of a big name entrepreneur, you know, they seem to come with risk, but he seems to be okay. And the consensus is that everybody just wants Daniel Snyder out. The other owners want him out, but they don't want to force him out, because if you force him out and you have to go through all this personal business, you got a lot of other owners who've got a lot of skeletons in their closet too, Santiago. And if you open one closet, you know, it might lead to the other closets being opened. If you remember when his troubling case first came out, you know, with allegations against him, what did we find out? We found out by looking into his past, we found out that video with John Gruden ultimately got fired because he had a conversation, you know, using racial slurs. So you open up a lot of these information and emails
with Adam Schefter.
Yeah, I mean, you could end up opening a lot of other stuff that I think owners may want not to. So they're not going to try to push the issue, but if you decide to sell, they're not going to say no to that. So, and again, Jeff Bezos is good. I think he'll pour a lot of money. You know, this is a team that needs a new stadium.
Pronto.
This is a fan base, and yeah, they need a new identity in the area. This is a team base that the fans have lost the love of the team. You know, Sandy, I remember going to college with, you know, us in Virginia. You know, tons and tons of Redskins fans. I think in the area now, I mean, they got one of the lowest attendances. Their stadium is, you know, they took seats out of the stadium because they knew they couldn't fill anymore, and they still can't fill it up. And this is teams last year that was really, you know, in contention until the very end. You know, they still couldn't. But, you know, you bring in Eric Bieniemy now as your offensive coordinator.
This week.
You got, you know, a new quarterback and, you know, Sam Howell, you know. So
feature Sam Howell, not Tyler Heineke.
Taylor Heineke was a good stopgap, but you know, the future's now for this organization. So, and you got a coach in Ron Rivera who has 1 year left in the deal. It's very weird for coaches not to have extensions. No one really ever coaches with 1 year left in the deal. And this is case of Ron Rivera knowing this is his last chance. You know, and
they almost made the playoffs. You know, all NFC teams almost all made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're there to the very end. Yeah, I think they overachieved. They kind of, you know, got lucky in a couple of games, you know. But, you know, they can get stuff out of Sam. You know, they, if Eric Bieniemy can turn Sam Howell into a, you know, great player. What really, you know, it's interesting that Ron Rivera would go and hire Eric Bieniemy. I don't know if it's his choice or not. Because if Eric Bieniemy does good, Ron Rivera has 1 year left in his deal. It's basically saying, you know, Eric Bieniemy, this is your audition to be a head coach. You know, this is a guy, I want to say, is it over 17 in head coaching jobs? I mean, I don't know what he's, I don't know. I don't know if he's not a good interviewer. If you talk to any Chiefs players, you know, other than LeSean McCoy, who kind of bitter over the way his tenure ended at the Chiefs, you know, they all rave about him, you know. From Patrick Mahomes, even Tyreek Hill, you know, nothing but good things to say about him. So, yeah, this is a audition for Eric Bieniemy for the head coaching job, I think, for the Commanders. You know, if you're going to have a new owner, you want to hire a new coach, and especially a coach with a big name like Eric Bieniemy. So.
Yeah, some say Bieniemy made this move. It was like a lateral move to become a head coach either there or somewhere else. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think he understood that maybe the perception was that he was this kind of product of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So I think you go there and you had the same success you did with them in Washington, you know, you're going to get your opportunity for sure to be head coach.
There you have it. Eric
Bieniemy. Whether it'll be in Washington or
elsewhere.
Anywhere else. So.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's switch over to the NBA. Breaking news, Dan Quinn is on the verge of signing with the Atlanta Hawks, the former Utah Jazz coach who left. Kind of.
I don't think the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, Dan Quinn, is going to be.
No,
the coach
my bad, my bad.
I think Quinn Snyder.
Quinn Snyder. I got too many quiz. Yeah, so Quinn Snyder, former head coach of the Utah Jazz,
like
is on the verge.
East, I think must have been
there. Yeah, exactly. Of signing with Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta Hawks let go of Nate McMillan a few days ago. There was indifferences. The team wasn't ranking well in the East. Big signing for Atlanta. Can he handle Trae Young?
I think so. He's an old school coach. He's a ball coach, you know. And I think kind of, you know, I don't think he adapted. You know, this is the guy. I remember he was he would play for Duke and was assistant for Duke for a while. Got a job at Missouri. Had a little bit of success, kind of tanked though quickly, got fired, ended up back in the ended up in the NBA, worked his way up. And I was like, you know, we got hired by the Jazz. I'm like, okay, I got it. You know, and this kind of found his identity with an old school defensive mentality, but understood that doesn't really work in the NBA right now. It's all about offense, and yeah, you've got a great offensive player, and he built a great offensive system in the Jazz. So, I think, you know, they're hoping he can replicate that. I don't know how much success he'll have this year, but I think he'll build a foundation, you know, and kind of see if this is something that could work, you know, long term. Because you don't also have Trae Young. You've got a lot of pieces in Atlanta. You got DeJounte Murray, you got John Collins, you got Hunter, Capella, this is, you know, Bogdanović.
A young team.
Young, but they got some experience. This isn't, you know, they're not babies out there.
DeJounte Murray, John Collins, Bogdan Bogdanović, DeAndre Hunter, AJ Griffin, Clint Capella, Jalen Johnson, and Aaron Holiday.
Yeah. So you got players on their team. You got potential. They should be better. But the East is tough. East is ridiculous, Santiago.
As tough as the West.
You're gonna have some good. Yeah, the West is not as good.
they're the AFC.
The West got better in the trade deadline because you take two good players out of the East, i.e. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, you put them in the West, you know, you build super teams. So, yeah, the West got better. But yeah, East, I mean, one team, a couple of teams, I got to play because somebody's going to win or lose, and somebody's got to play under the potential, and the Hawks were that team, you know. They're not out of it. They're going to probably make the playoffs or be in the play-in tournament, so they'll be fine in the sense of that. But you've also got a new GM, Landry Fields. You remember him, Santiago? He's not that far removed from playing.
I don't recall, but please refresh me.
He was kind of Jeremy Lin's kind of running mate for the Knicks years ago, you know, back in the day. Kind of
circa 2012.
Second round pick out of Stanford. You know, hit the ground running, and then he signed a big deal with Toronto, and it just died off, you know, and then ended up in a front office role. Basically reshaping the office because they really think he's the future, you know, GM, president, you know, the Hawks. You know, he's kind of taking this, you know, role. You know, the expectations were that they're just kind of wait out the season, you know. McMillan and the Hawks have basically said, let's get through the season. I know I'm not coming back, you know.
Just ride it through.
But, you know, I think they got to that point, I think, the all-star break that, you know, I don't know if Trae Young said, you know, he's got to go, or McMillan said, I'm just done. I don't know what
it was.
Something
was provoked.
I don't know. Yeah, something happened over all-star break where they just said, you know,
or hey, Quinn Snyder's sitting around at the other side of the
stadium. This is a guy I think, you know, surprised.
Maybe they ran into him during the All-Star game.
Maybe, yeah. I you know, who knows, Santiago? This is a guy I think everybody kind of retired, and I don't know what it is, you know, resigned, I guess would be worse. From the Jazz unexpectedly last year, and kind of provoked the Jazz
silently,
to basically
silently.
Say, you know, he basically provoked the Jazz to basically gut their team then, and because he built this, you know, they built this team in a certain way, and so now they're in forced them to go in a rebuilding process. You know, I think I really thought he was going to end up with the Lakers. I thought him and LeBron would be a good combo, but because he just seems like a guy who's hands off in the sense of, you know, you can let adults be adults, and, you know, so he's just going to be a ball coach. He's not probably looking to be your best friend. He's not going to be looking to be this mentor, or, you know, he's just going to coach basketball, and that's ultimately, I think, what the Hawks want.
Yeah, and Hawks was an organization that 2 years ago went to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Sixers, I believe, and they were very close to making it to the championship.
Heat. Wasn't it Heat? Sixers?
I think they got stomped by the Sixers, didn't they? No, they beat the Sixers.
No, the Bucks.
Yep, Giannis, you can't get past them.
The Bucks won the championship, yeah.
Yeah, so they were very close.
I resemble a lot of their run a couple years ago to the run the Mavericks made last year, in the sense that it was probably timing was really good, matchups were really good, got them to that point.
Injuries, but, health.
So it heightened their expectations and gave everybody kind of unrealistic expectations for how this year was going to go. So now you've got everybody kind of last year and this year expecting, you know, the world, and it just hasn't happened, you know. Kind of like how, and I look at this, Dallas, you know, Dallas goes to the Western Conference Finals last year. A lot of good, you know, they play the same Jazz team. They play a Jazz team that kind of led to, you know, Quinn Snyder resigning. And then they kind of catch the Suns at a good time when they've got some turmoil. And then, you know, then you end up in the Western Conference Finals, overmatched against the Warriors. So you made it to the Western Conference Finals. So now you have this expectation this year. You're going to do it again. You can't roll, you know. And then, you know, so it kind of forces the Mavericks to say, oh, okay, we're not going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. We got to go make a move, which led them to making that Kyrie trade. So, you know, when you have these unrealistic, you know, where your team is going faster than they probably should be, you know, it leads to unrealistic expectations. And then when you don't meet them, or you don't think you're going to meet them, you have to make big changes, and that's what's happened in Denver. I mean, Atlanta, and then Vince in Dallas. And also, I mean, you think about that. You think about with the Suns. You know, you take the other way too. The Suns went from, you know, 2 games away from winning the championship 2 years ago to losing the second round last year, and another team that just hasn't hit that stride yet this year due to more chemistry issues or, you know, injuries or Booker. You know, Paul is aging. So then what do you got to do? You got to go make a big move too. You know, and then you also got with the Suns too, you had an organization that had, you know, an owner who was under investigation, you know. And then, you know, you bring in a new owner. Literally, the owner is in the job for less than 24 hours and said, we got to make a move. And there you go. Basically, cut them and basically begged, you know, the Nets and, you know, prodded, you know, Kevin Durant to ask for this trade to the Nets. I mean, to the Suns. So, there you go. They, you know, and then you're looking at that team, you know, with name recognition. I don't know how they get stopped in the West right now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, as Ryan discussed, Kyrie Irving traded to the Dallas Mavericks and Kevin Durant going to the Phoenix Suns. Ryan, who looks better on paper, Suns or Mavericks?
Suns right now. You know, the Mavericks had the best team in the West, I think, for a couple hours, it seems like, a couple of days. But, yeah, I mean, the depth, you got two premier scorers in Booker and Durant. You got to, you know, now you can really put Chris Paul. Chris Paul can't, he's not a scorer anymore, but he can still pass.
He's not the old Chris Paul, as we know.
No, and I think that's what's struggling, because they needed him to be the old Chris Paul, and he just couldn't do it on a nightly basis. And then you got DeAndre Ayton, you know, he can kind of, you know, do his thing down low. What you lost is you lost a lot of depth. You know, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, those are... I mean, Mikal Bridges is a really good foundation piece. Such a big enough piece that I think the Grizzlies, at the trade deadline, offered the Nets 4 first-round picks for him. They, you know, they value him as their missing piece to a championship. So. But the Nets, I think, were determined with the trade they made that they can make the playoffs with this current roster and still kind of make a little bit of run in the playoffs too. So they're going to roll with this team. You know, when you make 2 blockbuster trades like that, you tend to just get assets, future.
Yeah, it comes down to assets, with those role picks, players.
I think they got a little bit, not stars, but not just role players. They got above average players. So you got Spencer Dinwiddie, you've got Mikal Bridges, you got Dorian Finney. Players are kind of, you know,
which is what you need in these playoffs. Players. You know, time after time, you see this championship team. These small players like Kevin Fox, Ariza. You know, players like those that come and chip in, fill in those holes, score 6 points, but need it to tip to go to win that championship.
Yeah, and right now they're lacking, and I don't know if Mikal Bridges is that foundation piece. They're kind of probably hoping he is. But I think what they do have now is a good foundation. Continue to make the playoffs. They probably slide. You know, I think the Hawks may jump up a little bit, because I think, you know, addition of Quinn Snyder is, if anything, it kind of puts everybody on notice and proves their play. Probably put some still in the play-in, but I think they'll be a factor. East is good. I don't know. East is really good.
East is pretty tight. It's anyone's game.
The Bucks are great. The Celtics are great. The Sixers are great. I mean, I could, you could not put a gun to my head, and I could think of a million reasons why each of those teams should win the championship.
No excuses.
Then your hometown guys are turning it on. You know,
I was going to mention the Cavs bought out Kevin Love's contract. He's a free agent. Joins the Heat. Is the Heat a better team with Kevin Love or the same?
Not really. I mean, if he was that good, if he had value, the Cavaliers wouldn't have, you know, released him. I, I mean, yes, he could, you know, give you some spot minutes, probably play more than he would with the Cavs. But
championship experience.
The Cavs have got two young monsters down low, and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. There's really, I think they basically, when they realize that Kevin Love is not the same player, he can't hit the three-point shot like he was. He's never been able to guard anybody, really. So, this is a defensive first team, you know, and then when you get towards the All-Star break, you go from probably playing 11 people each game to really 8 to 9 players each game. And when that happened, Kevin Love basically got cut out. You know, you see that pretty much everywhere. You got
not part of the rotation.
Players who are playing, you know, five to 10 minutes a game, and then all of a sudden, you know, because you want your best players playing together more, because you're gonna build that chemistry going into the playoffs in the most important games. So you gotta, even though it might be 5 to 10 minutes, those couple of minutes they're playing together on the court start to add up over time. So, and you know, obviously those fringe players will play more, and there's injuries, or you know, but. I think the right move for everybody for him to move on. You know, I think they did him a solid, you know, giving him a chance to, you know, be able to go somewhere where he probably will be able to play more. You know, again, you know, whatever Eric Spoelstra values him as, you know, a chemistry guy, just to have him in the locker room, or a guy, you know, because they did get rid of Dwayne Dedman, you know, as a backup big. So maybe he could be, you know, Bam Adebayo's backup. So
something they see in Kevin Love where, hey, just pick him up, get him for cheap, and see what happens. All right. Russell Westbrook back in L.A., but this time a Clipper. Is this going to be a resurrection or, hey, much more of the same from Russell?
Yeah, I'm interested to see this because you've got a team that should be very good. They're very active in the trade deadline. They made, you know, the pickup of Plumlee and Gordon. If they could ever just have their players play all their games when George and Leonard, you got, I think, really good player in Terrence Mann, Norman Powell. When we talk about the West being kind of light, this is a team that should be better that's not playing as good. So, I think, you know, if they can get a good Russell Westbrook who doesn't try to do too much, they will, I think, elevate him to championship contender for sure. But that if he was playing like that, the Lakers wouldn't try to trade him and get him away. So, with that being said, you know, they need to hone in him. So,
there you have it. We talked about L.A., Clippers, Lakers, Suns, Dallas Mavericks, Atlanta Hawks, Miami Heat, a little bit of the Bucks, a little bit of the Celtics. So the NBA is shaping up. 21 more games left to the playoffs. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's definitely not the halfway part of the season.
It's a little bit like 25% left. Final stretch.
Yeah, we're in the home stretch.
Teams are adding their role players, assets. To make sure they have a good playoff run, because it's going to be a long playoff run.
There's still some out there. You know, there's still some big, you know, fish out there, you know, for a team. You know, like a John Wall. I feel like John Wall could help, you know, a team out there. So there's a couple more, you know, older veterans, you know, who are probably looking to, you know, tag on, you know, as a role, you know, try to carry their pick their way to a championship ring somewhere. So.
Yep, you need your Steve Kerrs, your Rick Foxes, your Ariza to finish it off, to tap it in, to make it happen in the NBA. Let's go into college basketball. The Austin College Eagles stunned number 6 Virginia 63-48 on Wednesday night. Huge upset. A couple upsets this year so far, but it's going to happen in college basketball. Your thoughts over that win of the week?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah, it was a stunner. Surprised to see that for sure. But when you go on the road in the college basketball and you get into February and you get the grind of the season, anything can happen. And that's just, I don't think anybody doesn't think Boston College is a great team. And no one, I think if you follow enough college basketball, you know that teams get upset, especially in February, in the road. Because you know, at some point in the season, you're not going to have your A game every time. So, and you know, you're looking ahead, you've got big games against Duke and North Carolina coming up. So, to me, it wasn't a shocker.
No shocker. The college basketball conference championship games begin this weekend. There's a few of them, but also like the big heavy hitters are next week. And they call it March Madness Junior. Does Ryan call it like that?
Yeah, I mean, I might say that these next couple weeks, to me, just as fun as the first. Because you got basketball, you know. Our school, San Diego, starts their conference championship game. The tournament on Tuesday. So
Liberty University, he's referring to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which so, they beat Jacksonville State a couple days ago. That's huge win.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You beat Jacksonville State on Saturday and then got a win on Wednesday against Queens College and finish up against Queens College tonight in Darius McGee's last regular season home game.
And to clarify, Jacksonville State is in Alabama, not in Jacksonville, Florida. And yes, Queen City College is in Queens, New York.
Nope, it's actually in Charlotte, Queen City.
Charlotte. Oh, there you go. I see. There you go. That's the thing with these cities and these colleges. Don't think where it's at.
Who do you think is a football coach at Jacksonville State? Here's a trivia piece question.
Alabama,
Michigan, Wolverine.
That's your hint? He's a basketball player? Rich Rodriguez.
No, Rich Rodriguez. Yeah.
Never heard of him. There's a lot of sports going on.
Yeah.
Who was the first American to play in the Premier League? You probably don't know that. I'm kidding.
Okay. Brian McBride.
Roy Reggeley, 1983. Okay. So anything else before we head into the predictions? People are putting their money into this before we go.
No, that's it.
All right, college basketball, number 8, Texas at Baylor. Who you got?
I'm going to go Baylor.
Number 9, Baylor. Not an upset, be number 8. That's not an upset. 17, Indiana at number 5, Purdue. This could be an upset.
Revenge matchup, I think Purdue gets them. Maybe we talked about they've kind of hit their little February swoon here. So Purdue definitely needs this match, this win.
Number 15, St. Mary's at number 12, Gonzaga. Tyler Turner's go-to team every year for March Madness.
This is an extremely important game for Gonzaga. You know, they have a huge streak of winning. They're sharing the conference title, and they need this game to for that to happen. They had I think the game of the year earlier this year in St. Mary, so nothing will change here. I think Gonzaga wins this game in a rematch very closely, maybe even in overtime.
Go Zags. NBA Cavaliers at the Atlanta Hawks tonight in Atlanta.
Cavaliers need to shake off a tough loss last night to the Nuggets. I think they'll get the victory.
The Miami Heat at the mighty Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Potential playoff matchup.
That's a good one. I'm going to go Bucks. Going Bucks.
Milwaukee wins. Chelsea at Tottenham this Sunday morning.
Can't go against the Blues, Santiago. Go Chelsea.
London Derby. And finally, the fight of the weekend, Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. Who you got?
Don't know anything about it, but I've heard the name Jake Fury before.
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, here we go.
He's going for the YouTuber, not going for the Fury family, Tyson Fury and all those guys. All right, poll question of the day, Ryan. What do you dip your tortilla chips with? Options are salsa roja, red sauce, nacho cheese, green sauce, or avocado sauce?
Nacho sauce. Verde. I have a choice.
What was that?
Nacho sauce if I had a choice. But just
nacho
salsa,
sauce?
Salsa's fine. Yeah.
All right, nacho sauce it is. I go for nacho sauce. That's my first one, and then I go for avocado sauce. I haven't tried it, but Tostitos does sell it in your supermarket if you're ever thinking about getting some chips this weekend.
All right. Good to know.
Well, Ryan's on a diet. He's been on a diet for 4 years, still losing weight. So, Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to get your diet plan for 2023?
Mad Dog Report. Probably the best. There we go.
There you go, Mad Dog.
There you go.
All the success.
Or failure, right?
There you have it. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be following along this weekend in sports. A lot going on in college basketball. A lot of going on in football. I don't know if Ryan's watching the XFL, but I like the whole points. And like, if you're, you know, if you score a touchdown, you could also go for a 5-point extra points or something. But have you been following the XFL?
Yeah, either once I've been following. I haven't watched a lot of it, but I definitely been following it. You know, AJ McMahon from Alabama, kind of the star of the show so far.
So there you have it. And of course, Ryan's more of a USFL guy. So
maybe we'll see.
We'll see. I hope a second division and football league will work out. So because it's good for talent, people that just, you know, give them another chance to shine in the NFL. NFL is still the top league, will always be the top league. But sometimes these players fall off for some reason, injuries, or maybe they just had, you know, they were just placed in the wrong team and they had a huge whatever happened. So I'm glad the USFL and XFL is around so you can evaluate some NFL scouts to go in. Hey, we need some more quarterbacks. We need more wide receivers. What you got? We need to fill in those roster spots. Anyways, that's all I got. That's all she wrote. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for sending everyone. God bless everyone.
And this was your episode.